Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The scouting combine has come to a close, and with that, I think it's the perfect time for a mock draft Monday. All that and more on this edition of the Bullpen. Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Bullpen. I am James Roy, and as always, with me is my co-host, my partner in crime, Tom Chavarria. Tom, how are you doing?
Good evening, James. I am good. Like you said, the combine's come to a close. I think there's some new shiny toys that we get to talk about, potentially drafting that maybe we weren't talking about last week, 2 weeks ago, and excited to get into it.
I am excited to get into it as well, and yeah, obviously with the combine being done, I'd like to have a brief discussion on some prospects that you think made the most of the combine. So I'll start with you. Who is someone that you saw? Obviously, we've got Xavier Worthy. I know that's probably your answer as a Longhorns fan, you know, hook him. But who do you think moved the needle for you with their combine performance?
I mean, how do you even start anywhere other than the guy that set the record for the fastest 40 time in the combine?
I don't know. It's hard to look like, anywhere else.
I mean, in a sport where speed kills, he has now proven to be the fastest 40 guy in combine history. I mean, forget that. I thought, as a Longhorn fan, saw a ton of Xavier Worthy. I thought he was a great wide receiver without that. You include this now, and sky's limits for that guy. I really hoped he was going to be available in some of the later rounds, depending on what happened with free agency. You know, it could be a target. I don't necessarily know that the Texans are going to want to have that many young wide receivers together. But then again, with a guy like CJ Stroud who can spin it, you know, it may not matter. So sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at his speed. I had posted a clip from the Wyoming game, and it's not the only time that he did it, but his speed and just raw acceleration is deadly. He's hit at the 40-yard line behind the line of scrimmage and just burns the entire – I know it's Wyoming, but, I mean, the entire Wyoming defense and gets a touchdown out of it. So, I mean, I think most Longhorn fans would probably have been able to tell you that, hey, he's got some speed. I don't know if most of them would have guessed that he had that much speed. And it brings up an important question. We talk about it a lot. I feel like every draft, every team wants their team to draft a wide receiver, even if they've got good wide receivers. So it's no surprise that for the second consecutive, maybe even third consecutive year, all the buzz is around, could the Texans take a wide receiver with the number one pick? And so with Xavier Worthy's stock rising, how do you view his fit in the Texans offense? You already talked about his age and the young wide receiver core, but like, do you think that that would be a wise move just based off the kind of receiver he is?
I think that anytime you can give CJ a game-changing wide receiver to work with, you know, a la Xavier Worthy, a la Tank Dell, Nico Collins, it's exciting. And I feel that while initially my thoughts were, the draft should focus on the defensive side of the ball. D'Amico's came out as the person that wants to teach, wants to mold young talent, go get CJ some vets. Well, now you're really excited about what this potential could be, getting a and Xavier Worthy is not the only wide receiver that's out there, which is really what I think piques a lot of the interest among Texans fans as to, well, man, this guy looks really good. This guy looks really good. There's a ton of exciting young wide receiver prospects, which means the depth is there for them to kind of choose from. Obviously, we're looking at some of the guys we think might be at the top of the list. But even if it doesn't work out that way and the Texans draft one in the second or third round, I think that there's a potential to grab a really talented wide receiver in this draft.
Yeah, and I agree with you because there's really one of two ways you can look at it. And I've personally pushed the first narrative, which is that because there's so many good wide receivers in this draft, Nick Caserio might have no choice but to take one of those wide receivers at the 23rd pick due to guys like Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman, and Xavier Worthy potentially being available at that pick. But the flip side of that thought process is because of the depth of this class at wide receiver, the Texans could hold off and find a guy that probably is a better fit at wide receiver three in the second or third round. If they're even going to look at wide receiver in the draft, which we still don't know. Personally, for me, looking at a player that really made an impact on my board, I'm looking at the FSU defensive tackle, Braden Fisk. He's just an athletic freak. He really made a dent. Like I had seen him a couple times available when we've done mock drafts. And I've been like, I don't really know who that is. But now I know who that is and I know what he is. They used the simulcast for the first time. They did it on some of the D-line drills. And they put Byron Murphy and Braden Fisk in the same run, and Fisk dominated. Like it was a quicker, more concise run. And not to say that I'm basing my entire evaluation of a defensive tackle off of one combine drill, but he certainly moves the needle. I think he was projecting early third, late second. He might jump up closer. I don't think he jumps in the first round. I mean, there's already a pretty clear list of defensive tackles that will likely go in the first round, but I think he's definitely moved himself up in the second. And so I could see a situation where the Texans, maybe if they like him a lot, maybe they shuffle around. We've talked about this with Tavondre Sweat being the prize, but you know, maybe moving down from the first or up from their second round pick to try and get him. But looking at the combine itself, there's been so many different things that happen. Another position of interest in the first round is cornerback. Now we watched Quinyon Mitchell is a guy who kind of got the earliest of like, oh, this guy is no longer a second round pick. He is now one of the best corners in the draft, from the Senior Bowl. And then his combine performance really cemented that. He ran a pretty solid 40. I believe it was like a 4.33. And then Nate Wiggins came through with like a 4.29. So like a lot of speed in this draft, but Do you view either of those guys as guys that could be available if the Texans were looking? I mean, we have that Aaron Wilson report that said that they're interested in re-signing Steven Nelson, but I mean, we still don't know if that's official that they're going to do that. They haven't done it. So, I mean, how do you view those two guys?
It's really interesting because, like you said, Aaron Wilson, and if you're not following James on Twitter, you really should, because he was quick to outline Aaron Wilson making numerous tweets about all the things Texans. And I thought it was really great that it was kind of like, you know, you kind of summarize it basically on Aaron Wilson's giving us a wealth of knowledge as to what the Texans are thinking about doing. So they're really looking at trying to attempt to bring a lot of their free agents back. And if that's the case, then you're basically going to be able to say best available player. And one of the things that I think is really interesting about this draft is the combine was so good for so many players. This is turning into a really deep draft, in my opinion. So while the Texans only have a certain number of picks, I think that now maybe we see, and this is just my opinion, I don't know, maybe we see Caserio make some trades. We've done our mocks with no trades. So I could see him try to gather more picks to try to get one of these guys in maybe like an early second round and add a third round, because now wide receivers are rushing to the top. You know, we're talking about three or four different corners now as opposed to one or two. So when you start looking at all these numbers, and then you got to think about all these teams and whether or not they even have that as a need, wide receiver is a sexy pick. So, you know, you start looking at there's like five or six guys that could go in the first round. And then you start thinking about, okay, what teams need this and what teams need that. I really feel like, yes, both of those corners could be available, and yes, both of them could fit, you know, the mold of the next corner opposite of terrible with names right now.
Derek Stingley.
Thank you, sir. Derek Stingley. So it's just really going to be interesting to see exactly what the Texans feel like is their marching orders. I feel like if it's best available player, we're all going to be really thrilled, I think, with whatever they do, because there's a lot of really good football players so far that I've seen through the scouting combine in this draft.
And speaking of reports, Sarge has had a couple of reports. He spoke to the Texans' likelihood of getting Saquon Barkley, but his most recent tweet, he's talking to an NFL executive at the Combine who said that he doesn't think that Nick Caserio plans on staying at the 23rd overall pick. And I think if we look at the wealth of talent that's available at receiver, that is probably our clue as to who could potentially be trying to trade into that pick and where the Texans could be trading back to and what kind of capital they could be getting. I've yet to do the research to have in mind teams that could be, you know, potential spots for that trade back. But I think that wide receiver is 100% going to be the position that people are targeting when they aim to trade into basically like the 23rd pick, much like last year. I believe it was the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd pick were used on wide receivers between the Chargers, Seahawks, and Vikings for Jordan Addison, JSN, and Quentin Johnston. But I'm pretty sure that it'll be like a similar level of desire to draft wide receiver at that point in the draft, even with the talent that's already off the board in the top part of the round. I think there's some mocks that have like up to six or seven receivers going in the first, and three or four of those receivers will be available at the 23rd pick. So I could 100% see a team trading in and taking the pick there. There is one more thing I want to talk about before we go into our mock drafts. It's actually a deep future prospect that kind of piqued my interest. They're, you know, we don't really know too much about them until maybe like mid-October of this year. But there is a new prospect entering the world. Tom can see it. My wife and I are pregnant. Well, my wife's
congratulations.
Pregnant. I played my part in that.
Good job, so, sir.
Another one on the way. I don't know if anyone's as excited about the second as the first, but I am super excited.
As a dad of two, I can tell you it was definitely a very exciting time. You kind of know what you got. Looking forward to add to it. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks. I took a page out of John Hickman's playbook there, Locked On Texans. Said I'm just going to put it out there right now. But yeah. Sweet. We'll see if anyone listens to this. I'm not going to put it out anywhere else. This is, if you are listening right now, you know that my wife and I are pregnant, because no one else knows. Well, there's other people that know, obviously close to us, but now you're close to us because you know. But let's get into our mock drafts. All right. So we've each got ours pulled up. I'm going to go ahead and switch the screen over. For those listening that haven't listened to the show before, we're on video and we've got an actual mock draft simulator from NFL Draft Buzz running right now. We're going to be running a 4-round mock draft with a randomness level of 2. No trades. And like we said earlier, I mean, per the report from Big Sarge and from, you know, others, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people that expect Nick Caserio to not make any trades on draft day. But with as little as we know and as early as it is in the process, we're going to ride it out with no trades. So I'll go ahead and start mine up. And Tom's going to start his up too and get a look. But we've got mine on the board. So let's go. Let's see who we got. Ooh. Man, it is taking a second.
Mine too.
It's going.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to rerun it. Maybe I just need to reset it. I'm going to hit reset and try again. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Let's see, trades off. Texans. Maybe it's because I had it up for so long. I'm pretty sure. But now we're going to get started. And oh, there we go. All right. As you can see, I'm going to exit out of this ad because don't want that to be in the way. Oh, okay. So I've got Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, Byron Murphy, and then two offensive tackles. That's so, man, I can't believe there's so many people. Like Mel Kiper actually mocked an offensive tackle, said, because they need someone to start opposite of Laremy Tunsil. And I think there's some people that don't know the Texans' contract situation. There's also a lot of people that don't understand that the starting five for the Texans' offensive line is likely on the roster right now. But that's not a topic for today, but it could be a topic for the future. I think this is an easy pick for me, understanding that, or I guess basing it on the report that Steven Nelson is re-signing. I think that I'd go cornerback later in the draft, even with Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean available. And so assuming, I mean, obviously Sheldon Rankins could also re-sign. And that would throw a wrench in this, but just looking between the two, I think Byron Murphy is legit. So it's easy for me. I'm going Byron Murphy with my pick at 23. So let's bring up Tom's draft. And Tom, what do you got?
If this is what the board looks like when the Texans draft, I gotta believe that Nick Cassero is gonna be looking to move back. If the reports are accurate and cornerback is not going to be a position of need, I'm looking at two corners and a bunch of offensive tackles. There's another corner.
Is Xavier Worthy on your board?
He is.
You can later? Click wide receiver. Click wide receiver and see if he's there.
He is. Yes, he is.
He is. Ooh.
But he's still ranked as the 56th prospect.
Well, but he'll probably move up.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, I imagine when we're mocking them that he is because of that. You know what I mean? I think they use this and they don't, you know, waver too far from their rankings, because then it kind of makes them look like, you know, rank him higher?
I'll tell you this. If you're trying to be realistic, I think realistically Xavier Worthy will still be available at 23.
Oh, no 100%. Doubt. I think he will. But I think he'll be available at, say, 30, and I could see the Texans trading back to that for a team that's – look, if the board looks like this, for a team that's looking for a corner, for a team that's looking for a tackle, I mean, wouldn't that be something if, like, the Chiefs traded up to get Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold? And, you know, the Texans traded back and gained a third round pick or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. I could totally see them making a trade, but with no trades, I don't know if you feel comfortable taking Xavier Worthy at 23 just based off of the fastest 40 time ever.
I'm not going to take him at 23. Based on this and based on the fact that we don't know what we have, I'm sticking to my guns. I hope that the Texans draft the best available. Quinyon Mitchell's been a guy that has flight up boards. He's their 19th ranked guy, so I think you're getting a little bit of value here, and that's who I'm locking in. But, again, I think all of this changes when you see what they do in free agency.
100%, but I mean, I've used Steven Nelson as my justification to skip out on corner, I think that they'd probably go with one in like the second or third at the earliest, but it's very realistic that they could be signing Steven Nelson to, say, I don't know, Nick Cassero is known for his 1 and 2 year deals. He could be getting him back for one more year and drafting a corner in the first to develop to be like a true starter in the next year. And there's also the fact that the Texans are losing Tabir Thomas. I mean, drafting a corner high is not putting them in a bad spot, because they could use him as a slot guy. As their nickel. So, I mean, I don't dislike the pick. I'm looking at mine, and let's see. Mike's Sanderstill, a corner out of Michigan, is a guy that I might consider at this pick, just because, like I said, this is like the earliest point where I might consider that based off of my logic going into mine. But I think I might take a look and see like what tight ends are, or not tight ends, sorry. I might take a look around and see like what DBs or linebackers are available. I know that CJ was advocating for Tommy Eichenberg, but I feel like I can get him later. So I would probably, I'd probably go ahead and lock in Malachi Corley. I feel like in the second round, I think ideally you'd want to trade back and maybe try and get him in the third if his stock isn't high enough to get him, you know, into the second, obviously, which his ranking would show that he's a second round pick. I'm lucky to have him on my board based off of his ranking, but I'm going to go with Malachi Corley and fill the need that maybe isn't their highest need, but that's about what I'm thinking is best to go with. So I'll go drop the pick on that. And then we'll move back to Tom. Tom, who you got on the board?
I mean, I don't even have to make this pick, do I? I mean, you see who's sitting right there staring at me in the face. I absolutely am drafting Xavier Worthy right now in the second round. Now, obviously, based on that 40 time, I don't see a scenario where he's still there at 59.
You could say that this is them trading up. You know, theoretically, they could trade up from their second pick if they really like Worthy that much and he slips. But
yeah.
I agree with you that it's unlikely based off of his combine that he is still there. But I mean, yeah, take him.
Like if you told me they traded a second and one of those fourth round picks to get to, say, 35, you know, 40 and take Xavier Worthy, I'm here for it.
No, yeah, 100%. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and put myself up. And then it's looking like I've got and for those of you who don't know, CJ Stroud's mom is on Twitter. I only have the comfort because she has like a K as her profile picture and the header is her. But CJ Stroud follows the page, which leads me to believe that this Kim Stroud page is his mom. And she's been going around giving his stamp of or her stamp of approval on players. And one of those players is Cade Stover. She shared a video of his combine interviews and said, great guy, great family, bring him to Houston, essentially. She didn't say that last part, but that's, you know, that's what I got out of it. And so I think even if you sign or franchise tag, which is another fun topic we might discuss later this week with Dalton Schultz, rumor has it they're working on trying to get him back. They could tag him. Even if you do that, I think there's merit to drafting a tight end around this point in the draft to try and set yourself up for the future. And so I'm looking at the players around the, I mean, I would consider like DJ James or Kyrie Jackson at corner, both of them cornerbacks, but I'm going to go ahead and lock in, the Kim Stroud special and pick, Cade Stover with the third round pick. And I'm going to bring up your draft there, Tom. Tom, who you got on the board?
I'm following suit. I got the same guy. We've seen this before where CJ has went and said, hey, go get my guy. He went out and got Tank. Obviously, that worked out well. If CJ goes to them and say, hey, Cade's on the board, bring him to Houston, I think they're doing it. So this is a perfect spot. It's around where he's rated. It's not like it's a jump or anything like that. So I think it's a great pick at the spot. They are going to have a need for a tight end, I think. When you look, I mean, you've got, what is it, TQ, potentially Dalton, I hope Dalton, and Brevin Jordan. And that's your tight ends. So I could see a scenario where Cade becomes that dude, and it's a good pick.
All right. Well, go ahead and lock it in. I'm going to bring up my draft. So, I mean, we had a couple. I mean, we've had similar picks before, but that's fun.
yours is the realistic draft. Mine is the dream draft.
Yours is the dream draft. I like your, like, I think for the past couple weeks, I've liked your draft better than mine. So, kudos to you, Tom. If I was picking between the two of us to be the Texans GM, I would still pick myself because I'd rather have the job, but I would call you up when I had to make decisions, okay?
Hey, as long as I'm getting some kind of assistant to the GM role with a sizable paycheck, well, I'm here for it.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. All right. So I've spoken to taking a corner, and one of the corners I've liked as a later pick is Josh Newton from TCU. And he's sitting here available right around where he's rated. He is the number 125 prospect. We're picking 124. It just feels right. So I'm going to go ahead and lock in Josh Newton, cornerback TCU. And then I'm going to bring it back over to Tom. Oh, you're pulling up a scouting report. Who do you got?
I have got Mekhi Wingo, defensive tackle. He's apparently sliding a little bit from where we are based on where they have him ranked. They have him as the 113th prospect. We're sitting at 124. So, again, I think that's a pretty good value. DT could be a need depending on what happens in free agency. Obviously, they don't have anybody of note on the roster currently. So here's a guy, LSU, you know, Power Conference. They're known for defenses. I mean, looking at his bio, we like to start with the weaknesses, huh? Isn't able to consistently shed blocks and makes plays in the hole. Because Wingo doesn't show much variety in his pass rush moves, he may have to come off the field on third downs. While he is powerfully built, his short arms allow blockers to get into his body. I feel that's stuff that can be coached up a little bit. I think that this is probably a pretty fair pick at that spot. You look at what else is on the board. We've already covered wide receiver. Cornerback's already been covered. There's an edge out of Troy. I don't necessarily know enough about him. I think you can get another edge rusher a little bit later. Tackles, corners, wide receivers. There's a linebacker in there. But give me the guy from the more prestigious defensive notable college, and I'm going Mekhi Wingo.
All right. No, yeah, solid. I mean, LSU is always a solid pick. It's one of the reasons early on that I like Brian Thomas Jr. at going back to the first round. Outside of the fact that he has really good tape, at least really good highlights. Apparently it's controversial to use the term tape when you haven't reviewed anything but the highlights. And so I'm not going to act like I looked at anything from Brian Thomas except for his highlights. So looking at my mock draft with the final pick, we're doing a four-round mock. So the Texans have two fourth-round picks. There's a couple of pretty interesting options. There's a lot of tackles. And while I wouldn't mind taking – this is like the earliest point where I'm like, okay, maybe take a tackle, get some depth, you know, with right tackle this season. What's his name? I'm bad with names. My goodness.
Our right tackle, the Texans' right tackle?
Yeah, not Titus Howard, but he's
George Fant.
George Fant. Jeez, both of us had the name forgetting bug today. But with George Fant likely leaving in free agency, because we've said it before and I'll say it again, I think he's earned at least either a similar role or maybe a starting role on another team based off how he played this year. I'd be interested in a tackle. But, I mean, you got Christian Jones out of Texas. You got Javon Foster out of Missouri. There's some interesting options. But I'm going to call this draft the Stroud special. And I'm going to do – I was already considering looking at the best linebacker available. And I mentioned him earlier. The best linebacker available at this point is Tommy Eichenberg, who Stroud shared on his story, speaks very highly of. And I think that this, you know, this fourth round area is where you get into that territory where you find a guy with Blake Cashman likely leaving based off of reports from Aaron Wilson. We're looking at the Texans needing to replace. They'll probably look at Anis El-Shazir, who they're interested in to fill that role. But bringing in another young linebacker who D'Amico can develop is never a bad idea. So I'm going to lock in the Ohio State pick, and with two of my five picks being from Ohio State, I'm going to call it the Stroud special. And then I'm going to throw it back to Tom. Tom, who do you got for your final pick?
I want to say you stole my thunder, but I was really trying to steal your thunder from a previous comment. I had already had linebacker pulled up. I was looking at Tommy Eichenberg because I think that you're right. This could absolutely be the Stroud special. They could absolutely – you know, be leaning on him to try to pick some guys. I mean, Jevon Solomon is ranked higher by them, but if it's between a guy out of Troy and this guy who went to school with CJ, who he can vouch for, I think they're going to go that way. I think there's a precedent that's been set, you know, with the last few seasons with drafts where teams just fell in love with a school. You look at the Eagles, they tried to draft all of Georgia, you know, not a bad problem. You look at the Texans, there's a lot of Alabama in the Texans. So again, not a problem. Now that CJ is in town, there might be a scenario where there could be a lot of Ohio State. And that might not be a bad thing. I mean, they were, you know, playing in the, you know, the Final Four for, you know, a national championship.
No, yeah. 100%. I mean, I think that it makes sense that, and D'Amico attested to it with the, you know, person over player. So if he's got the inside scoop from one of his players on what kind of person that a player is and he likes it, I could see them. You know, Nick is loves to make trades. I think that honestly he lives for it with how much he does it. And I think it's like a mental thing. I've always theorized that Nick makes trades to pick up players because he feels like it motivates the players that he drafts. Because there was really no reason to trade up for Juice Scruggs. We find out now that there was huge reasons to trade up for Tank Dell. It didn't feel like it at the time with as much as they gave up to, or I don't want to say as much as they gave up as if it was a whole lot. But I mean, when you look at it, the Texans are willing to make it shake and move around and try and get the most value out of the pick. So it's really about finding out who they want to draft and getting in the right position to feel good about that pick. So I'm all for it. I guess we'll recap who we picked. So looking in at mine, Byron Murphy out of Texas shored up the D-line. Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky got another wide receiver to potentially play wide receiver 3. And then Cade Stober, tight end out of Ohio State, just to kind of get us the Dalton Schultz replacer or potentially a tight end 2 if Dalton Schultz doesn't come back. And then Josh Newton, cornerback out of TCU, just to maybe he steps up and plays, you know, the nickel corner. Maybe he's that good. I don't know. And then Tommy Eichenberg, our linebacker at Ohio State, a little, you know, a guy you can work with at linebacker to kind of maybe develop, right? And then Tom, what do you got? You went.
I mean, I feel like I stole the show. Obviously, I don't necessarily know that any of these guys are going to be available. These are all, I mean, maybe the Ohio State guys, but the rest of them all feel like, you know, the Texans just got incredibly fortunate. Guys fell to them. Quinyon Mitchell, he's moving up draft boards. I don't know that he'll be there at 23. We'll definitely have to see. Xavier Worthy being there at 59 seems very unlikely considering he's the fastest guy in the draft. Cade Stover, I think, can be there. He was rated, you know, in that area. So that feels like a good pick. Makai Wingo, again, we talked about it. He was kind of, you know, falling down some boards. I think they'd be very fortunate to get him there at 124. And then I feel like the only way the Xavier Worthy thing happens if they trade that second pick, but by some miracle or whatever, Worthy's there. They're able to scoop him up without having to give up anything. Tommy Eichenberg makes a lot of sense for all the reasons that you pointed out. He feels the need. Linebacker's definitely a need. Whether they're able to, I think, bring Blake Cashman back or not, they probably need to draft at least one linebacker, maybe two. Because, I mean, you've got, what, Henry Toa, Christian Harris, and that's it. So from the guys that, you know, we know, I'm sure there's some practice squad guys and there'll probably be some undrafted guys and who knows. But as of right now, these pieces all feel like they'd be good fits for all the holes that could potentially still be available after free agency.
Well, I knew in the second round when you showed me your draft board that you were going to win. If we're comparing mock drafts and we're picking whose is better, because I pick yours over mine, especially even with the similarities. Like, we both took a receiver in the second round. You just got, you know, Xavier Worthy and I got Malachi Corley. And I can't wait for that sentence to either mean something or nothing at all in the future. So I was going to look back and be like, I can't believe you said Xavier Worthy was better than the Malachi Corley, but who knows? So I agree. I like your draft. I'm interested to know if the Texans are even considering a wide receiver in the draft. That's been one of my bigger questions. I see the merit to it, but I also see why it would make less sense than some of the other options that they have. So yeah, I mean, to be inside of the mind of Nick Caserio or D'Amico Ryans, who, according to Nick, are the only two people that have any idea what the Texans are going to do in the draft or free agency. Man, that would be a great place to be. But Tom, do you have any final thoughts before we bring this Mock Draft Monday to a close?
I mean, I think you pretty much hit it perfectly said. I think that it'd be awesome to know exactly what they're thinking, where they're going to go. I feel like you said, wide receiver is probably the least need of all the needs. So it'd be really interested to see if they just want to lean all the way into letting CJ cook, or if they're trying to build a well-rounded roster and, you know, whenever they get another wide receiver to fix that other area, whether it be in free agency or the draft, is when they do it and they focus on some of the other bigger needs. Again, can't get to free agency fast enough. I think we're, 12 days away, something like that?
We're really close.
And then I think that's when we'll know. I feel like our mock drafts are going to feel so much better when we start to see some of these pieces fall into place, whether it's on other teams, on this team, and then you're able to go, okay, now we know the holes and go fill them.
No, yeah, and I'm pretty sure – so this Friday will be our last free agent Friday, because then we'll be in free agency. We'll just be talking about what the Texans are doing in free agency. But, yeah, I mean, I 100% agree that – I mean, we'll know more once that happens. That's why we've been trying to communicate with y'all as we do all these very incredibly early mock drafts. But thanks for tuning in today for this Mock Draft Monday. I have been James Roy. You can find me at M1 Texans Fan on whatever social media site you want to find me on. Tom, Third Coast Tom on X or Twitter, depending on how old you are, I guess, or I don't know how much you care about the original name. And then he's also on Instagram. It's TCTom1. So Third Coast Tom 1, for those of you who didn't crack the code. it's on private, and he might accept your follow requests. I would barrage his DMs with DM requests asking him to accept your follow requests. I think that's the real way that you get him to follow you back, honestly. I'm pretty sure he spends... Status update,
it is no longer on private.
It's no longer on private. Wow, you get a follow for free. Wow, this is huge. And also, I didn't comment on it, but guys, I made a new background for the show. And so if you're watching, like, let me know what you think about that, because I am not overly sensitive and I can totally handle constructive feedback and criticism. but yeah, as always, stay classy, Houston, and vamos Texans. Thanks for tuning into The Bullpen, a Texans podcast, part of the Fans First Sports Network. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from The Bullpen.
Pick the hand up. Stroud looking. Stroud.